Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Welcome to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. We got guests from all over this morning. We got to get them on the phone, but we're working on it. We've got Sharon Bryson and Marcus Brown. They are blossoming Christian recording artists, and boy, they got a story to tell. Welcome, Sharon.
Yes, hello.
So your story was actually on the 700 Club, right?
Yes, it is, yes.
And you were stabbed a number of times, and so we're going to hear a whole lot about that. But tell us a little bit about your husband, too.
Oh, yeah. Marcus Brown, he's an amazing recording artist, and he's released an album called 60 Impromptu, and it's a classic. It's jazz, and it's very anointed. It's the instrumental piano improvisation album. It's beautiful. It really heals and ministers to people of all walks of life through it.
Whoa, I just cut off Sharon, and I got Marcus. I'm sorry, Marcus. We're going to have to call back your wife in a second, because sometimes this phone system does that. But nonetheless, it's good to have you on with us. And so she told us a little bit about you. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your wife.
Oh, okay. Well, Sharon Bryson, she's originally from Vancouver, Canada. She's been involved with church ministry all her life. To be honest, she traveled all over the world, 40-something countries, just to minister to the world her story and the many things that God has done for her. And is a survivor. Many may not know, but she's a real survivor. She's been close to death, and she's been resurrected, and it's true. And she will definitely fill you in on the story, but it's a wonderful one, and it's just to show how great God is. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And it's an interesting thing. We got Sharon back, and now I somehow or another have got to get this to where I don't keep doing that. But Sharon, maybe you can spend a second and say, you're from Vancouver, Canada, and your husband, isn't he from South Carolina?
Yeah. We met at a wedding. It's a wedding in 2008.
So you met at a wedding where?
A wedding.
Where?
In Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, so you were at a wedding in Charleston.
And yeah, because I'm really close friends with his first cousin. He's also a gospel musician. And I was there recording. And then we met.
Isn't that wonderful? All right. Well, our third guest today we have is Donald James Parker. And Donald, we've had you on a few times because you're known to our audience mostly as a movie maker, but now you're an author.
Yes, I am.
You've got several books that have come out in the last couple years. So how did you go from movie maker to author?
Well, it was the other way around, actually. I started out writing books. In fact, I think I wrote my first movie script in 2011. I had already written about 10 books at that point in time. And then since people don't seem to want to read these days, I decided that the movies were a better vehicle to reach them. So that's why I switched to making movies. But I never stopped writing the books, too, because it's easy to take a movie script and then adapt it into a novel by just adding more material. So that's what I've done.
Right. And so for those of you who are familiar with Donald, his movies include Grandpa Shoes. Or tell our listeners a little bit about him.
Well, I got a two-part series called Gramps Goes to College and In Gramps Shoes. I actually shot them in reverse. I made the In Gramps Shoes was the first one, and I did Gramps Goes to College as a prequel because the first one had done so well. And And so then I also did a three-part series about a couple elderly gentlemen that like to harass each other, called the Best Friends series, Best Friends Eternally, Best Friends Recycled, and Best Friends Genetically Modified. And then I did some singles, one called The Unexpected Bar Mitzvah, Love Waits, Old Rugged Cross, and Mission Improbable. So basically, my commission I got from God was to go after evolution, Harry Potter, and the sexual revolution. So most of my materials deal with those topics in some fashion. I weave those things into whatever topics I have. But
there you go. Well, we're going to have lots more with Donald. And you can see we've got a number of different artists today on Kingdom Pursuit. So speaking of art, we got our music back. So I'm very excited about that. So speaking of art, I'm drawn to art. I don't know about you, Rachel, but have you ever thought about that? Yeah, an artist calls his sketch pad home. You could say that. Or my sister fell in love with a circus trapeze artist. At first, we thought she was attracted to his net worth. But she said it was his gravity-defying leaps of thought. They're both flying high now. And the cardiovascular system is a work of artistry. Right? But it's also really vain. You know, there you go. And so at the end of those shenanigans, you knew I would actually have a riddle today, which it's good to be back. I missed you all the last couple of weeks. So we have a riddle today, and that one is, who was the first artist in the Bible? Wow. Who is the first artist in the Bible? And you can call us at 866-348-7884. Tell us who was the first artist in the Bible. 866-34-TRUTH, and if they do, Rachel, tell them what they'll win.
Well, if they call in, they will win a book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault.
All right, we have a book in store for you. All you have to do is call in and 866-348-7884 and tell us who was the first artist in the Bible. And again, we have on with us today Sharon Bryce and Marcus Brown, which are both recording artists, and the good news is during the breaks we will be playing some of their materials, so you'll get an idea of what that is and how that comes about. So the music playing is reminding you that you can still call in and win at 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Just tell us who was the first artist in the Bible. So getting back to Sharon, who we started off with. And Sharon, I'm so glad I managed to get you both on at the same time without cutting one of you off. So that could happen. Our phone system is a bit tricky. You got to do that just right or that happens. But now I've got you both at the same time. So how did you, you know, kind of begin the recording process with your husband, or were you first, was he first, or how did that happen?
No, we were both like musicians and recording before we even met each other. So, so we played music for like 2 or 3 years old, playing the organ in churches. And you couldn't shut me up. I've been since I was 2, but I didn't start until really start recording until right after I got stabbed and the Lord saved me. Literally from death, I really decided and felt music, and that was what I really wanted.
So, Marcus, in your case, were you recording prior to having met Sharon?
I was recording, but I wasn't recording solo. It wasn't my project of my own. I was always recording with other artists. And so it didn't come until much later, after me and Sharon had met. And that's when I decided to start recording my own solo project.
How wonderful. So okay, so we are going to go to a break. When we come back, you will hear some of Marcus's work in the breaks. And, of course, we'll have much more with Donald Parker. And all of them are at kingdompursuits.com. You can find out more about that. And don't forget to call in 866-348-7884. Who was the first artist?
Yo, let me show you how to praise even in the rain. Let me show you how to celebrate in the pain. It's not about the feisty ice and green money.
Let me tell it, D, getting stabbed to death isn't funny.
But you was fair, yeah. So I guess we both been there. Matter of fact, I ain't thinking about going back. No, I'm here now, and as for me, I won't be moved. Cause the Lord done brought me through. Swing it, Sharon.
In some city I read.
So that is Marcus Brown and Sharon. Well, I'm guessing, Marcus, is that your wife in the vocals there as well?
Yeah, that's her, but that wasn't me singing or rapping.
Oh, interesting. So you are playing the music behind it.
No, we actually have not officially collaborated on a project yet, but we plan to in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that song was actually Sharon's. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Shows my confusion. Well, there you go. So Sharon.
That's okay.
That's okay. Well, I know that our listeners are dying to hear the story, that if you would share briefly what happened that led to your appearance on the 700 Club.
Oh, well, it was a while back in 1998. I was a victim of a violent crime, and I was stabbed in my body 30 times and left for dead. But the Lord, like, completely saved my life and rescued me from a pool of my own blood, and basically just said, I shall live and not die, but declare his glory. And, I was, like, severely beaten. I was stabbed in my neck, in my face, in my stomach, and I really should have died that day. But I had walked away from the Lord. I grew up in the church, and I grew up really knowing God. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but I backslid like the prodigal son, you know, and I turned away from my spiritual roots, and I ran away from home. I was only 17, and then, you know, I was just very naive, very vulnerable, and people saw that. I was from Canada. I had moved on my own, and it was just one day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, these two people came in, and I knew the girl because she was like the same age as me. They were both like 18 years old. I just turned 18, and they knocked at my door, and I really did feel the Holy Ghost tell me not to let them in, but I ignored it. I wasn't, you know, serving the Lord. In my heart, I still love the Lord, but I wasn't serving him, you know, and walking with him like I used to. And I let her in to use the phone, and I was rushing off to work, and then she tied me up, and they had a gun, and they basically kidnapped me for like an hour, and I only had $1,200 in my bank account, and I had like a gold chain my mom gave me for my birthday, and they took that. They took the $1,200, and I had like a Geo tracker that was just an old car, and they stole that, and they said, "When you see in our face, we have to kill you." So that's when she was beating me with like a waffle iron, and then they stabbed me multiple times and really made sure that they finished the job. And I was laying there bathing in a pool of my own blood, but I cried out to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, you know, please let me live. I promise, Lord, I will serve with all my heart. Please give me a second chance. I just want to serve you. I just want to live. I don't want to die today." And I ended up crawling out, and the couch was even in front of the door, but I pushed the couch, and I had a real strong will to live. And a neighbor found me, but they thought I was dead already because the neighbor, he said it looked like a horror house in there. There was blood everywhere. I was covered in blood. I lost some of the blood in my body. But homicide had come to the scene also. But then I ended up getting an 8-hour trauma surgery at Grady Memorial Hospital. And I got like 27 staples in my stomach, and they sewed up my neck. The knife was so like deep in my neck, it just missed by half an inch my jugular, which I would have been dead instantly. But and I was, you know, completely healed. I left the hospital in 10 days, and then I went on, you know, record albums, do gospel albums, and travel the world telling my story and doing music and just really pursuing the Lord. And life, I mean, there's been some trials, but God has delivered me out of them all, and it's just been wonderful. And now that I really, you know, believe that I shall live and not die, but declare his glory, and that's really what I'm doing with my life. And my husband is a real huge blessing. He's been a real answer to prayer.
And so, well, you know, as we all, you know, try to absorb that, it's hard to hear. It's so painful to think of all that being done to you, but it you know, God allows that in a lot of people's lives, all sorts of different pains. And Donald, I'm wondering how the pain in your life led to your art. Because, you know, clearly what's happened in Sharon's life is she went from this to this. Was there pain in your life as well?
Well, nothing that compares with that. I mean, we all have pain, Robbie. We all have suffered hurts and rejection and things like that that cause us to be introspective, to examine our lives and to wonder what if and so on. But I think, you know, Edgar Allan Poe, I think, is a good example of a person whose anguish, you know, led to a lot of their art. And so, you know, I think a lot of the things that I have, the pain I have inside of me, has not been involved in my literature that I've brought out yet. I don't know if it ever will be, but my thing has been basically fighting the cause for the kingdom. And, you know, as I got involved in doing this, I started to see a pattern of how Satan was attacking the church on several different planes, different levels, different theaters of war, if we use World War II terms. And my desire was to try to fight against that, and it let people see what's going on so that their eyes will be open and that they can fight against it as well.
And Marcus, I'm curious, in your situation, you know, obviously you're very familiar with Sharon's. Was right. there pain in your life that led in some ways to your art?
Yeah, actually, because my first project, which was 60 Impromptu, is a piano jazz album, but it's inspirational. And that was kind of like a coming out party from a very complicated and painful divorce that I had went through. And even the struggle of getting to be able to see my child and custody battles and stuff like that, because all I really cared about was making sure I was in my child's life. So even that was a struggle. But the songs captured all that. It also captured the joy too, because I think a lot of times we concentrate on pain because that's what we feel the most. But there is always a inkling of joy, and we have to be cognizant and remember that we have to magnify the little joy that's there. We have to make it bigger.
And then I find it really fascinating that, and I had never really put this together, Sharon, until I heard your story, that in my own case, I had a year where I had a really life-threatening lymphoma that was actually killer cell lymphoma, and I was supposed to die from that and went through the chemotherapy treatment. And in my last chemotherapy treatment, my wife and I decided we were going to go celebrate on a Jeep Jamboree in Asheville, North Carolina. And that's when a Jeep came down the hill and crushed me between almost severing my left leg, and I spent the next 2 years in surgeries in the hospital, similar to yourself, Sharon, as they tried to figure out how to put me back together. And during that time, God put it on my heart, Donald, interestingly, to write a screenplay, which never became a move. You know, it was called The Full Armor, and I spent a lot of time doing that while I was recovering, because I was actually in the hospital and hospital beds and all sorts of stuff all that time. And it really developed a lot of the imagination that later became the inspiration to all of my radio career. And I think I was just putting that together, that really there was some of that in there that I really had never connected. But I'm interested, Sharon, you said that after that you began to record, and can you kind of transition us to that?
Yeah, well, it was just, I put out a project called Rescue, and I was just really, you know, moved by the Holy Spirit just to, like, you know, sing about my story and what happened to me and how, like, the Lord had heard my cry. And I was just so grateful. Like, it just, when I almost died and then got a second chance, God gave me that second chance, I just realized, you know, the gifts that He put inside of me, and that was all I wanted to do, was just tell my story and just I wanted to sing and write songs to just talk about how great the Lord is and his healing power and his restoration. And like, no matter the pain, what pain and suffering you've been through, whether it be emotional or physical or both, that God can heal you, he can deliver you, and he can turn your life around and clean you up, and you can live an abundant life through the Lord Jesus Christ and be completely healed.
Yeah, and I wonder, going back to you, Donald, if, you know, and I've watched several of your movies. They have phenomenally wonderful endings. They kind of sneak up on you and really make you feel good. Is there not some of your own story in there that makes you want these things to come out to where there's hope?
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. I don't think you can write without having some of yourself in it.
Yeah, I find that absolutely, and I, you know, really challenged by Sharon's life and what, you know, God's done through that. When I saw the by the way, if you go to Kingdom Pursuits, you can see the 700 Club interview with her. You can also hear the impromptu song that Marcus was talking about, as well as all of Donald's books are all listed there. By the way, if I would hope that you would go check those things out and respond to them. But, well, there's a break. So we've got to come back, and I am shocked that nobody has called in to tell me who is the first artist in the Bible. 866. I'm really dying to hear the answer to this, by the way. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in and share. Who was the first artist in the Bible? We come back. We got more of Sharon, Marcus, and Donald with some of Marcus's music this time. Coming up the break. Marcus, I'm hoping we got it this time.
Yes.
Tell us about that song.
It's Feel Alive, that's the title of it, and it was released last year, March. And the inspiration behind that is my relationship with music. Music has always been there for me since age 3. And it's just, it always makes me feel alive. There's a lot of things that that I've went through my life with music.
You know, as I was listening to it and doing the kind of work that I do in production, I listened to a lot of different music, and you know, it was really uplifting, and it really made me smile.
Wow, that's great!
I was like, man, this is a great piece. This is something I could use somewhere. You know, in I do a Christian Car Guy Theater, which is kind of like Adventures in Odyssey, only with car parts. And yeah. And so I use a lot of production music for those kind of things. And I was just really admiring the joy that was in that piece, and could really sense, you know, what you were feeling there. And, you know, music is such a huge part of our lives. And God yeah. meant that. You know, you can kind of see how that is meant to worship God. And from somebody that worships from a standpoint of David, what does that feel like to you who's actually creating the notes?
It's like you can't really explain it. You know it's directly from God. It's in your ideas. You just feel it. And it's kind of hard to explain. Like even in creative process, it's kind of hard. Even the words comes easy because it comes straight from the heart. And to know that it's straight from the heart is very inspirational, and it allows you to continue doing that. And this song, for example, I wanted to encourage everyone to just pursue your dreams. There's a lyric in that song that says that, to pursue your dream, basically, whatever that might be, you know.
And I think, you know, you said something extremely critical there, that music speaks to the heart more than to the head.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a way for us to communicate. Like if, you know, if you're going to sing or you're going to play an instrument, that it comes from that place. And I suppose I would just guess, you know, that I've heard it said that if your, you know, body is the temple of God, then your heart would be the Holy of Holies, the place where you really meet with Him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so with that music playing and you're creating it, it's almost like you're right there in the Holy of Holies in the sanctuary with Him in an intimate place that really, you know, I'm kind of envious that you get to do that.
That's okay.
That is so cool. And Donald, moving back to you a minute, I noticed that I'm familiar with a lot of your stuff, but I've never seen this mountaintop mismatch. What's up with that one?
Well, that was one of my more recent ones. I did that one last year. I guess that one was kind of influenced by my movie making, because I made it about a Hollywood starlet who gets lost in the mountains. She's on a trip and she gets her cell phone stolen and she crashes into the mountains in the snow there, and a guy who lives out there alone finds her and takes her back to his cabin. So it turns out that he had written movies in the past, including a blockbuster that had been stolen by a studio. So he never ever got credit for writing it, and she thinks he's just a nobody, and she discovers that he was a somebody, a potential somebody anyway. So it's just kind of a fun story but she's somebody who had walked away from her faith, and he was living out him by himself in the mountains, and it's him and God, and so he helps her find her faith again.
Wow. And you know, it's interesting you say that, Donald. One time have you heard the movie What If that was done with Kevin Sorbo? And
in a couple times.
Yeah. And Debbie Ryan was in that movie, and I was interviewing her as a result of being in that movie. And I'll never forget, the beginning of the third segment, God just kind of put it on my heart to ask her, Debbie, how can we pray for you? And she went to tears. And for those who don't know, Debbie Ryan was a big-time Disney star. She was, I can't think of the name. Well, I know The Suite Life of Zack and Cody is where she started, and then she ended up with her own show and a bunch of stuff. But she was in that movie. And she said, you know, Robbie, nobody's ever asked me that. And then she said, but you have no idea the temptations that come to a Disney star, of all the things that they parade in your face to try to get you to do this and try to get you to do that. And I would really, really appreciate your prayers. And, you know, when you started down that, you know, of what a starlet and what it means to be in getting all that fame and what comes with that, right? As I'm sure you've experienced somewhat as a movie maker.
Not really. I didn't, you know, I'm not part of Hollywood. I'm totally independent, and so I went into it not trying expressly not to be Hollywood, because I knew the trap. That's some of the stuff you even write about, is that, and that's one of the reasons for that book, is that we so much desire the praise as a man that we ignore the praise of God, which is what we should be seeking.
Well, and Sharon, I know you probably know what I'm talking about a little bit.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of pressure in the music industry, you know, definitely that can corrupt your faith. Like in secular music, you see like a lot of drugs and alcohol abuse, and you got to really stay grounded and really, you know, just really trust God to not fall into that lifestyle.
But the actual, and you can relate, I know, to this, and I had it happen or I would not have understood it. But when I, years ago, I wrote an article on how to save General Motors as the Christian car guy. I do the Christian car guy show. And for whatever reason, a publicist picked that up and they sent it to Fox News. And the next thing I knew, they flew me to New York to be on Fox and Friends. And like your time on the 700 Club, you know, at that moment, you know, millions of people saw me. They had me all made up and all this, and I'm in this thing. And it was absolutely like my Facebook thing blew up, my email blew up, all these people reaching out to me and all this stuff, this moment of fame. And then the temptation of how do I keep that? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So as you came off the 700 Club and you felt all this, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes. Like, can you continue? I'm listening.
Yeah. So there's this temptation of what do I need to do to keep this wheel spinning?
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that, you know, and it's all vanity, believe me. What I'm talking about in Robbie's case, I don't know about, you know, Disney stars or whatever, but I know what the temptation was in my case. It was vanity. And it was a fascinating thing that I can't remember the name of the other talk show host, but anyway, they wanted to put me, they wanted to fly me to New York, same exact kind of thing. And then here came the temptation. They said, you know, Robbie, we want you to lose the Christian car guy moniker, so to speak. We don't want to mention the Christian car guy. We want Robbie Dillmore because Robbie Dillmore knows all about this stuff, but we don't want the Christian car guy because they didn't want to say that. This is Fox News. And I said, well, you know, Robbie died some time ago.
So, oh, yes. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. When I went to go speak in the public schools and high schools, they didn't like it that Jesus was a big part of my story. So they wanted me to, you know, keep God out of it more so.
Yeah. But the temptation is, you know, Robbie, if you'll drop this, then we can really make you a lot bigger personality than if you, you know, and there it is. And it came really subtly, but there it was. And I'm like, wow, I'm really good. You know, I'm, you know, God will find opportunities to make himself glorious and through my story or through your story. And the same kind of thing, Marcus, I'm going to bring you into the conversation. Have you had something like that happen?
Yeah, I tell the story a lot of times. When I was in school, in college, I was on fire for God, and I was about 19 going on 20, and I got an offer to audition for the artist Usher and go on tour with him, the R&B singer. And I told the guy I would pray about it before I even consider going to the audition. And then just God's voice inside of me just really strongly encouraged me to stay in school. I was in college. He encouraged me to just get my degree, because what if that tour lasted for just a month or two? And well, I dropped out of school, right? And I didn't want to do that. So I decided to stay in school and not be influenced by that opportunity. And I'm very glad I did that.
Yeah, the temptations come, and there's your moment. Mm-hmm. And it's very enticing. So now I am just going to say that, I know I wasn't here last week. We didn't do a riddle the week before, so you've gotten out of the habit of answering my riddles. And I'm really looking forward to who was the first artist in the Bible. Come on, somebody needs to call in. 866-348-7884. If we don't have somebody call in, I'll have to answer this myself. Who was the first artist in the Bible? 866-348-7884.
Yo, let me show you how to praise even in the rain. Let me show you how to celebrate in the pain. It's not about the fights, the ice, and green money.
Let me tell it, D, getting stabbed to death isn't funny.
But you was fed, yeah. So I guess we both been there. Matter of fact, I ain't thinking about going back. No, I'm here now, and as for me, I won't be moved. Cause the Lord done brought me through. Swing it, Sharon.
Now, welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, which today we're so excited to have Sharon Bryson, who that song is with and by Marcus Brown, her very gifted husband, which I wish I had more music up, had gotten that together. I struggled with some MP4 files that they had. And then Donald Parker is a movie maker and author of several books. Again, you can find out more about all three of these wonderful folks, all three of these artists, really, at kingdompursuits.com. you know, get their books, read them, you know, send in reviews, check out their music, order it, you know, send in reviews. People love to hear, you know, feedback on how they're doing. So I am very excited because I have an answer for this riddle. But so we have Michelle in Raleigh. We have Geraldine in Mayodan in North Carolina. So we have two different riddlers. And Geraldine, if Michelle mentions it, please stay on the line because I want to talk to you as well. So don't, you know, don't give up if you think she gave had your answer, because I got lots of answers. Okay, so just stay with me. And we got Michelle as in Raleigh. You're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
I love that name. It makes me think of Paul McCartney immediately. Oh, she didn't like, no. Maybe she'll call back. We lost Michelle, and we're going to go to Geraldine, is in Mayodan, North Carolina. I don't know what happened to Michelle.
Hello.
Hello, Geraldine.
Hi.
I am very excited about your answer.
Okay. Yeah, well, the first artist in the Bible I would think would be God.
Oh, wow. Oh, I hadn't thought of that one.
Oh.
That's a great, oh my goodness, that's a great answer. So hopefully Michelle will call back with her answer. But that, you're exactly right, Geraldine.
Oh.
Not only did he paint the most beautiful sunset I've ever seen last night, but he
much beauty.
Just think, he wrote all those melodies that the birds sing and the wind blows and all that. Yeah. What a great answer.
Oh.
You're absolutely right. We're gonna send you out a book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault. I'm so thankful. Now, my answer is really lame compared to that one, but I'm interested. We got Michelle back, so we're going to get her. Hang on for me, Geraldine. We'll get your information. We got Michelle back from Raleigh. Michelle, are you still with us?
I'm still there.
Oh, good, good. So who are you thinking was the first artist in the Bible?
God is the first artist.
Oh, everybody is so much smarter than me. That is such a great answer. I absolutely love that answer. And you absolutely win.
Your answer is it?
My answer is a little bit different. So if somebody wants to try that one, or maybe I'll just share it now. See,
if
you look up art in a concordance, the first place that you'll find it is from Adam.
Okay.
Because God says, where art thou? So, you know, my sense of humor is, you know, he was looking for Adam's art there. But thank you for calling in. God bless you.
Okay, God bless you too.
All right. So, getting back to Sharon, as we head into this, tell us now, you not only are obviously a very gifted vocal artist, but you also teach. Are you still doing that?
Well, I'm not doing that at the moment. I did have a vocal studio and was doing vocal coaching in Vancouver, Canada, but I moved here to Maryland to be with my husband. We're newlyweds. It's coming up on our 1-year wedding anniversary. So I moved here, and I just feel the Lord calling me into a whole new season. I've been doing some music at churches, but I really feel, you know, that God is going to open up an art institute here in the Maryland, like D.C. area, you know, with my husband and I. And we're doing some other things. Like, he's been in social work also for many years, and he has a big heart to help the homeless as well. So, that's kind of what direction I'm going in. I did a service last night, and I was doing music, so I am planning on, like, posting some YouTube videos with some teaching and showing my new music, but I'm really looking forward to collaborating with Marcus more in the near future and recording.
It's interesting. There must have been some spiritual warfare going on, Marcus, because I tried 4 times to record impromptu, which looked fabulous. But every time I did, the player at Vimeo said it was broken down. You'll have to come back and play this later. And every time I went back, it wouldn't play. And so I was glad that I got some MP4 files from you this morning, Sharon. But that song, is it about your daughter?
Brooklyn Sanctuary. Marcus is the one he's referring to.
Yeah, it is. I have my daughter's 10 years old, and her name is Brooklyn, in which she always asks me to go take her to see the Brooklyn Bridge.
Ah.
Anyway, but one of these
I love
days,
that.
I'll finally take her. but yeah, that song was made up. It was named after her, but what she doesn't know is it wasn't an actual planned song. It's just I recorded it in the moment. That's why it's called 60 Impromptu. I just asked the engineer to press play, and I just started playing whatever came to my mind at that moment. And then I named it Brooklyn Sanctuary.
Really? Really? Mm-hmm. And so there's further. Okay. So I recorded Brooklyn Sanctuary this morning. I did. And, you know, because you sent me the MP4. I converted it to an MP3, I recorded it, I put it on the computer, and when they got ready to do the show, it would not load. And so after all, my producer sitting there shaking her head saying, that's exactly what happened. So I say all that to say you need to hear this song, and the way you can hear it, because I can't play it for you in the bump like I was hoping that I could, is if you go to kingofpursuits.com, there the Vimeo link is so that you can see and hear this, because obviously, Marcus, there's some jazz and stuff in your background. That is that kind of where that's coming from?
Yeah. It's snippets of different songs from the project. It's about 12 selections on the CD or on the recording. So.
And so, what a creative process! You know, I just love the creative process, and I love the fact that we have three artists with us today. And Donald, you know, speaking of the creative process, and again, the idea behind this show has always been, how does God take your passion and use it to build the kingdom? So you're sitting there thinking, I've got a passion for writing, or you got a passion for music, you got a passion for taking care of children, you got a passion for, you know, helping homeless, which I would love to talk to Marcus about that. But Daniel, I mean, Donald, how did God start you with that, realizing that, wow, you could take your passion here and begin to, I know he gave you the summons, but what did it feel like to actually start putting it on paper and then begin to organize it?
Oh, that's hard. That's a hard one, Robbie. I didn't know. And I really, I fought myself at the time because I just dove into it. You know, got it. I had experience where I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I heard a voice that said, write a book about evolution. And I prayed in the morning. I said, God, did you ask me to write a book about evolution? He said, and when you're done with that, go after Harry Potter and the sexual revolution. Well, that launched me into doing it. And I didn't know how to do it, but I just went and just did it. And now after 25 books and 9 movies, I'm like, Lord, why didn't I ask your help? You know, the passion and the creative juices and everything is all great. But without the Holy Spirit and without the guidance from God, it's kind of wasted motion. So that's the point I've reached right now.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I kind of downplay the creative element. It's like, you know, God is the creator. I'm just a reflection of him, you know. And so the ideas are coming not from my head so much as I think hopefully from God. So
what's the name of the brothers that made all the movies? Facing the Giants.
Well, there's a couple sets of brothers. There's the Kendrick brothers.
The Kendrick brothers. There you go.
The Irwin brothers.
The Kendrick brothers. I interviewed them right about the time they came out with War Room. And they said something that's very quotable to me. They said, you know, Robbie, there's good ideas, then they're God ideas.
Exactly. And those guys said, are the real deal.
And so they said, you know, we keep waiting for and working on the ones that we know were God ideas. And that's a definite part of that creative process. And so, Marcus, to get back to that question, you know, when it comes to helping the homeless, have you had some God ideas there?
Yeah, just recently I decided to create something what I call Cuts and Cures for the Homeless, and that's Haircuts and Manicures for the Homeless. And I hold that at a shelter, and it's just complimentary haircuts and manicures at a homeless shelter.
And see that? You can tell right there that's a God idea.
Yeah.
So Sharon, Marcus, Donald, you guys are awesome. I appreciate so much God continuing to use you. And again, you can find out more about all three of them, please do, at kingdompursuits.com. You can see Donald James Parker, Sharon Bryson, and Marcus Brown, their information, their links, their websites, and their music. So by all means, check that out. Right now, I just really, really want to thank you for listening today and for calling in and sharing those ideas. And, you know, if there's a lot of truth coming at you on the Truth Network, so stay tuned. You got the Masculine Journey. Starts here now at 12 o'clock. Stay tuned. So much truth coming at you.